Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. Not only is Bluehost Cloud our fastest web hosting available, but it's also built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you can get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecock, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders! Pressure, and he just dives in!
All right, greetings and good morning. Welcome aboard and welcome home inside the Gamecocks, the show live from the Signorama Studios, the preferred sign partner of your South Carolina Gamecocks. Signorama, owned and operated by our friend Matt Vaughn in West Columbia, Signorama.com. Built by the Barn Dominium Co., where you can build your dream home in the Carolinas, in Georgia, and in Tennessee. For as low as $160 for their home. Lead off the program by Chad Holbrook, who is formerly the head coach at South Carolina, but currently at the College of Charleston. And we got some things to get to, but proud coach alert to lead off. I know you're headed to Elon. Last night's game at Duke, unfortunately, canceled. I'm sure your guys were looking forward to playing the game, but with weather on through, didn't get a chance to. Cole Sing-Sank, I believe, right? National and world player of the week right now after hitting six jacks in four games last week. The Cougs are a half game back, I believe, or a game back of UNC Wilmington going into the final weekend of the year in the Coastal. But you did take two of three from Wilmington earlier this season. So there's a lot on the line for your guys.
Yeah.
Weekend to win a regular season title and head into the conference tournament. Good to see you, man. I know you're in a hotel lobby, so We'll keep it as short as we can.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, good. Yeah, we've had a good run. I think we're 23-2 in our last 25 games. So we've played well. We've got some big swings of the bat over the weekend from Cole and some other guys as well. Kevin Madden with the game-winning grand slam on Sunday in the series deciding game. And it's been a fun group to be around, and it's fun to play important games this time of year.
Well, you got three of them this weekend. This is who does Wilmington play this weekend? I didn't even look.
They're at Delaware, which is always a difficult place to play. So we're playing at Elon, which is tough to play, and Wilmington has Delaware, and we're half game out. We lost a game to Towson due to the rain, so we've played one less game. Couldn't control that, and all we can control is what we do tomorrow, and hopefully we'll play well.
So if you, oh yeah. being a half game, that throws some things off here. So if y'all go up and take care of it, y'all need to go.
Well, how it works is if we would win 2 out of 3 and they lose 2 out of 3, then we'd win it by half a game. If we tie, like if we win 2 out of 3 and they win 2 out of 3, we'd be at half a game back. But honestly, we've clinched the top two spots in our league. So we've clinched a bye in the conference tournament, and no one can catch that. So it's just a battle between us and Wilmington. And if it's a close, if it's closer, if we, are ahead a half a game or we lose a half a game, we feel like we're in a good place because our head-to-head competition within our league is pretty impressive. Having won the series against UNC Wilmington, the conference leader right now, and won the series against Northeastern, which is one of the top RPI teams in our league, and won another road series at Campbell, which is a top 80 RPI team as well. So within our league, we've controlled what we can control.
Phil will be here in just a little bit. Mike and Tom Luganbill wrapping up. JC and Morgan will also be joined later by Mike and John Wilkerson, the voice of Tennessee baseball, as the Gamecocks are headed to Knoxville today for a 3-game series, and that's a big one for them as well. Plenty on that a little bit later on. It's been an incredible run for your guys. I can't wait to kind of follow along with the end of the year Thursday through Saturday series. So we can get ready for conference tournaments, which are right around the corner. So I just have to ask you this, Coach. Where do you feel like your team is aside from winning the postseason, the conference tournament to make the postseason? Like, do you feel like y'all've got a case to be an at-large team at this point in time?
Well, it looks like everybody around the country thinks we do. Again, this really stuff that we really can't control. I'm liking what I'm hearing nationally, at least what I'm reading. They're in Fitz and the Kendall Rogers out of the world thinks we're in a great spot. But at the end of the day, there's when you're at a mid-major level, there's not many mulligans. You don't have many mulligans, and you got to try to win your next game. And we're kind of, like I said last week, we kind of treat each and every game from this point forward as our postseason. And we like what we've done. We like our body of work, but we got to keep winning. And I think our players understand that.
Yeah, 50 right now in the RPI, and just
and I think we're in like 22 or 23 in that DSR ranking. And there's so many different metrics now. And the secret out there that no one really can answer is, what metric is going to be used the heaviest in the committee room, or are they all going to be used equally? Is it all going to be a topic of conversation?
Nobody knows.
I hope it's not all about the RPI.
Yeah, it seems to be different every year, as you well know. I remember when Coach Tanner was the chair of the committee, and his response to some questions is a lot different from guys in other years.
Right.
So, it's unfortunately y'all didn't get to play last night on the road at Duke. If you would have knocked them off, boy, does that help. But
our RPI would have gone up 5 to 10 points, win or lose, probably last night. But I'm a firm believer, and I think most people are, that what happens between the white lines should matter the most. And I'd hate to be let. I don't think it should come down to a mathematical equation. We've controlled our what we can control within our league, and hopefully we'll continue to play well. That being said, up to this point, we've controlled it. There's a lot of big games in front of us, both this weekend and next week.
Yeah, some impressive series wins this year. Wofford, Northeastern, Campbell, and that was at Campbell. You took 2 of 3 up there. We blew the doors off of them those last couple of games. And at
Wilmington. And we were on the wrong side of the unbalanced schedule this year, having 12 home games and 15 road games. We weren't one of those lucky teams that had 15 home games and 12 road games. So we only got 27 league games this year. We had to go on the road one extra series, and I think that matters too.
Yeah, it does. Right in front of just kind of a Gamecock related note here for everybody. Right in front of the Cougs in the RPI is Troy, and I actually talked to Skyler this morning. As a matter of fact, I love Skyler, and he's doing a great job over there at Troy. And I hope to see both of you in the postseason. You deserve it. All right, enough of this interview crap. Let's talk about the real stuff, right, my old friend. So I tweeted it out earlier because Colin sent that Garcia interview to me this morning, and I was in my office, and I looked at the clock. I said, well, shoot, I got an hour. So I popped it on. You were right, man. What I tweeted, because I've known Steven for 17 years.
Right.
And, you know, and we've had a lot of talks over the years, and both on and off the air, heard him speak in a lot of different places and things like that. But that was an interview that he's never done. He's never done anything like that. The only thing you missed, and I meant to text you this, you might not even know that it happened.
Damn it.
I'm not trying to book. You're going to get him back in, so you can ask him there. In the 2014, I think it was 2014, SEC Media Days in Birmingham.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Steven was working with Saturday Down South, and he asked Steve a question on the podium. And, you know, Coach Spurrier, you know, looking out there like, what are you doing, Steven? You need to cut your hair. You know, you can't be a media boy with all that hair, you know?
Yeah, I should have asked him about that. I wanted him to stay comfortable, and I wanted him to continue to, you know, to talk. I wanted the Gamecock fans to hear some of his sides of the stories and hear what was going on between his ears and hearing what he thought about his teammates. And that was all fascinating to me, and I'm certainly glad we got to have the conversation. And I'm certainly there'll be more to come with Steven because he's such a great interview.
Well, I was thankful that – you know, and you don't like to, I don't like to throw people under the bus when they're gone. I'd rather throw them under the bus in front of their face. Right. But I mean, I was really thankful that you and Steven had an honest conversation about the kind of the behind the scenes disdain for Eric Kiman. I mean, he did do a lot of great things at South Carolina. They were in a bad spot financially when he was hired. That's why he was brought in. So there are a lot of things that he did when it comes to the, you know, looking on at the paper and balancing books and things like that. He did some great stuff, right? But
right.
Personally speaking, there's a lot of folks that had a lot of issues with him, and that was pretty – y'all were just pretty open and honest about that.
Well, I mean, don't you have to be? I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, he was in charge of the athletic department, and he did a great job. He really did.
Yeah.
You know, he hired Dawn Staley, and that was a pretty dang good hire, obviously. Maybe one of the best hires in the history of college athletics. But he, you know, I worked in the baseball office at that time. And it's no secret, Eric and Ray butted heads in a big-time way. And I got to see – I had a front-row seat for that. Obviously had a front-row seat in the way that Steven Garcia was handled. And it was fun to talk about that. It was fun to hear that, you know, a lot of people around Gamecock Athletics gave Steven a lot of rope. But Eric didn't.
Right.
And I think that was Eric was a big image conscious leader in our athletic department. And he felt like it's probably not fair to put words in his mouth, but he probably watching what we watched, he probably felt like Steven was doing damage to that image that he was trying to portray throughout the athletic department. But you know, one of the cool things about that interview, it was really neat to see that Coach Spurrier had Steven's back. Jerry had Steven's back, and many coaches and many athletes on campus had Steven's back. And I thought that was kind of cool and reflective a little bit of the Gamecock athletic culture that, hey, he's one of us. We need to stand by him. And I think that's what he felt from his teammates, from the fans, and from a lot of people within the athletic department. But obviously he did butt heads with Eric Kiman.
Well, including Coach Tanner. I mean, Coach Tanner wasn't the AD. He was just the baseball coach. But, I mean, Coach Tanner – at that point in time, as you well know, had been around the block. He dealt with a lot of players, a lot of college kids as their leader, as a head baseball coach. And, I mean, we could go on for hours about how Coach Tanner dealt with different issues, and he dealt with some of them different than others, as we all know. But for him to speak up on behalf of Steven while he was there, and you almost wonder, too, Coach – you almost wonder, like, say Coach Tanner at that point, thankfully he wasn't, or you wouldn't win national championships, but you almost wonder, had Coach Tanner been the AD at that point in time, how that would have affected Steven. I think some of what Steven did off the field was in retaliation. Like, I'm going to do it because you're telling me that I can't be – And it wasn't even bad things. It was like they were just beginning to hamstring every piece of his life. And he was like, F this. I'm gonna go do it.
I think he was so scrutinized that he felt like he was treated unfairly. And he probably has a good case with that after having talked with him. No doubt it would have been handled differently if Coach Tanner was the AD. I think you'll get that feeling once you hear the conversation, and you will ask yourself that question. Wow, how much different would it have been if Ray Tanner was the athletic director when Steven was the quarterback? But that was part of what made the conversation unique. And I think kind of cool. He was very open and in the conversation, I equated Steven, to football as what Michael Roth was to baseball. And Michael Roth was a free spirit. He had a really good time at South Carolina, but he always took care of business on the field. Steven and Michael were a lot alike in many ways. It just was Steven being the quarterback at South Carolina was scrutinized, and every movement that he made was documented on a daily basis. And I think at the end of the day, that was the difference between Michael and Steven.
Yeah, that's a good point. Don't misunderstand. Steven did do some pretty idiotic things while he was at South Carolina, and he knows
But don't we all? When we're in college, you know what I mean? We all do stupid stuff in college. And he was a quarterback at that time, and he probably didn't have a great feeling or a great grasp of the responsibility that came with that, maybe, that he knew. When I say that responsibility, I mean, like, he knew he was scrutinized probably at a much higher level than maybe he assumed he would be. But God, what a neat guy he was. What an intelligent person, smart. It was fun to watch him hear about what he's doing for his kids, the husband he's become, the dad he's become, and his love for Gamecocks. I thought that was really cool. It did my heart good that he couldn't wait to get back for the reunion with his team and see his teammates. And that was a really neat part of the conversation as well. And I kind of equated me and him as parallels. I was like, hey, in many ways, your story and my story aren't much different. I didn't do as many dumb things as you did, Steven. He started laughing. I said, but we both got fired, and we both have great love for the University of South Carolina. So we have a parallel story there.
There's no doubt. He's a special person. I'm glad to call him a friend. Y'all did. You gave some hints at some things that are coming with our network in there, and people can. Somebody would probably hear that and go, wait, I can eat a room. Would they say? But that's good.
It's going to be cool. And if we need to edit anything out, we can, but I always had respect and admiration for him, but it grew exponentially having talked to him and getting inside of his own brain, so to speak. It was really fun. It was an entertaining conversation for me. And I certainly learned a lot. I'm glad he's giving back to the sport that gave so much to him.
Well, there was, and we'll move on from this because I want everybody to go listen to it. It'll be out here very soon. But I think one of the things that I really connected with was the story he told about sitting down with Miss Jerry, which he's very close with Miss Jerry, and he was then, and they spent a lot of time together off the field. I don't think a lot of people realize that. But one of the things that he had mentioned was how Jerry, you know, kind of gave the reasoning, her version of the reasoning of why Coach Spurrier was so hard on him every day. And it was because of what he saw in himself. There was kind of a reflection. And that, when I heard him say, and I've heard him say that before, obviously, we've talked about that in the past, but not sitting there listening to him say that again to you, it hit me because I've got two daughters. One of them is very much like me, very much like me. And I see it and I can tell. And I am a little bit harder on her, but in my own way, because I know what she's capable of. You know what I'm saying? As a parent, I mean, you've got two kids and you know what I'm saying, you know, so that kind of, I was like, I could see that, and I could see that if I was coaching somebody who reminded me a lot of myself that played the same position as me and things like that, why I would, you know, maybe to a fault at times, be a little bit more animated towards that person in different ways. And So that was really telling. I can't wait for everybody to hear this. I think they're going to really just be thrilled with this hour-long ordeal. And I'm glad that Scotty and Colin got a chance to – I don't know if they've ever talked – have they ever talked to him before that?
No. And Scotty and Colin are huge Gamecock fans, huge Gamecock football fans, and it was a thrill for them to be in a conversation with them as well. And, mad respect for Stephen Garcia, for sure. And always get enamored with the coach-player relationship, and I think you'll get a good feel for the Spurrier-Garcia relationship. And what a mom Jerry was to all those players. It wasn't just Stephen. And I think that held that program together in many ways. She played a powerful part in being the mom of the players there. And it was cool to hear Stephen talk so fondly about her as well.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool stuff. It'll be out soon. It'll be out soon. We'll let you
hopefully
know.
Hopefully in the next 36 hours, hopefully, yeah.
Yep. Right. We'll
We'll put it out on socials and everybody on those. Make sure you follow us on Chim Music. And I know you'll retweet for us, but yeah, we're excited about putting it out. And hopefully Colin can get it out this afternoon.
Actually. Yeah. He's sending me an email with some things. We're going to get some stuff in the show. All right. So I know you got to get out of here in the next few minutes. Y'all got to get on the bus, but I want to ask you about this is a hard conversation to have, but you're so easy to talk to, number one. And you'll understand where I'm asking the conversation or where I'm asking the question from. But this is that time of year, and it happens now in all of the major sports and college athletics. It happens in all sports, really, but the major sports that we pay attention to, football, basketball, baseball, you get to the end of the year and fans begin evaluating the tenures of coaches if they haven't already been evaluating the tenures of coaches. Just to clarify for everybody, this is not a question direct to any program in the country. It's just that time of year. And if you read social media, you're going to start to see the D1 baseballs and the Baseball Americas and all those type people start talking about that carousel churning with coaching changes. And you've been through this when you were at South Carolina. What's it like when the media, the fans, you can't avoid it. You can't. There is no bubble anymore. You can't get into a cocoon. And what is that like on the team? What is that like on the staff when these conversations start popping up at schools across the country? They're still trying to play ball. They're trying to get in the postseason. They're trying to maybe they've had a tough year. They're trying to win the conference tournament and to get on a little run. I mean, there's still things to play for. You're trying to keep your team together. All that stuff goes into this. So, what is all that like as a coach?
Well, you know, we're all human beings here, and you know, you can say, "Hey, I don't read it. I don't hear it." That's probably a lie. I felt it when I was at South Carolina. It was uncomfortable for sure. You know, that every game, win or lose, you know, I had to answer the question, you know, do you feel safe about your job? I mean, and that just happens with all the big time programs. It's not much fun to be in, but it's, you know, it's how it is across the country. And, you know, and the media blows it up, social media blows it up. And as coaches, as a leader of programs, wherever program that the head coach is at, that it might feel like, you know, a change might be made. It's uncomfortable. I mean, it just is what it is. I think it's uncomfortable for the players. It's uncomfortable for the families. And you try your best to just, hey, focus on the task at hand. You know, as the leader of the program, I'll shoulder all this weight and let our players relax and play. And that's what you try to do. There's no easy way to talk about it other than it is what it is. We're all human beings. We do feel it. And all you can do is prepare your team as best you can and play as best you can and keep them as relaxed as best you can. And hopefully they'll finish out the year strong. And, you know, some of these coaching things that you read and I think are very, very unfair. And some of these coaches have done great, great jobs. Realize that some leagues are very difficult and you can have great teams and a great product and great players and a great culture and be around 500. And I remember Coach Tanner telling me when I was working for him, he said, you know, they were all over Mike Bianco at Ole Miss one year and that he had, I think, lost a couple games and didn't get in the tournament. And, you know, and Ray told me, said, Mike Bianco has done a great, great job. And what he's done at Ole Miss and type of teams and programs that he's put out there and the winning and being in this league. And he said that the worst thing Ole Miss could do would be get rid of Mike Bianco. And you know, he told me that like face to face. And I think he told the Ole Miss AD that as well when Ray was the head coach. And I think just a couple years later, you know, Mike wins the national championship at Ole Miss. I just wish that, you know, in these some of the I'm pro coach. These coaches should get a little bit longer leash these days than they are. And I think, you know, some of the voices and the loud voices are heard across the country. And I think some of the coaching decisions are made in haste a little bit too quickly. And, you know, a lot of these coaches have years on their contract. And I hope these coaches will get to see those contracts through and finish and not get fired. I'm a big pro coach guy. I coaches should get the benefit of the doubt in many aspects, in my opinion. But I know a lot of people disagree with me on that.
Well, I just – it's such a strange time, too. It's not the old days where, you know, you get all this time and you keep putting players in the pipeline and you develop players and you win baseball games and the train stays on the tracks. I mean, Coach Kingston said something the other day during senior day that was, wow, like it just hit me like a ton of bricks. He's like, hey, man, I remember the days where, you know, you get a guy out there on senior day and – You've known that kid for 6 or 7 years. You recruited him for 2 or 3 years. He played for 4 or 5 years. And I've got guys standing out here on senior day I've known for 9 months. You know, I don't know how without any structure, and this is, again, we're up against it. So,
yeah,
we can't have that conversation. But I'm not so sure how you sustain any sort of consistency in any college athletics program anymore with where things are and the lack of structure to support it. And I hope that ADs are taking all of that into consider. Every situation is different, and I get it. Some guys have had – there's all kinds of things that are going on behind the scenes at all these schools, and I understand that. But I'm just saying, strictly from a performance standpoint, there's a lot now, a lot more, I think, that you have to consider before just pulling the plug on people, right?
No doubt. And, yeah – never has the NCAA or college baseball been in a – it's just different now than it's been with the portal, with the transferring at will, with NIL. And coaches are trying to adjust to the new environment as well. And, yeah, getting to know players that are only going to be with you 4, 5, 6, 7 months is tough. But, you know, it's just where we are. And, like I said, I'm a big, big pro coach guy. These coaches should let's see this thing through. And you know what? I mean, some of the coaches that we're talking about here could finish the season strong. I mean, think about what happened at NC State in regards to the basketball team there. All right, think about it. I mean, people have no idea how they were in the ACC tournament. They were playing Virginia. They were down by 3 points. Virginia was on the free throw line. I think a 90% free throw shooter. He missed the free throw. NC State came down and banked in a 3-pointer to go to overtime and end up winning the game. I believe that's how it unfolded. Mm-hmm. If Virginia makes that free throw, the head basketball coach at NC State is fired the next day. It was all out there. He didn't. They beat Virginia. They went on a credible run, won the ACC tournament, went to the Final Four. And now you can't tell me that coach is a totally different coach 3 weeks later than he was, you know, the night the ACC tournament started when everybody was going to fire him. So let's take a deep breath and let these see these seasons through, because, you know, LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss could get hot and make a run and make it to Omaha just like NC State basketball did. So take a deep breath and collect our thoughts and let these coaches see how they can get their teams to play these last couple of weeks.
Well, hopefully y'all stay hot. I mean, y'all are as hot as anybody in the country, right? You said 23-2 in the last 25 games.
Yeah, about that. Hey, one time in our season, we were 13-10, and we were trying to organize our bullpen, and we had a few injuries going on, and all of a sudden, you know, I kept looking at our record. I was like, hey, we're better. I swear, I feel good about our team. I really feel good about our team. They were working hard. They were close knit. They had a good bond. They had fun at practice. Statistically, I was looking at them. I was like, I think we're going to start winning some games here. I just don't, you know, I don't know if it's going to be enough because we had started out slow. And lo and behold, you know, we went from 13-10 to shoot, what are we, 36-12? And, yeah, won 23 out of 25 games. And one of those games, honestly, we lost with a three-run lead in the ninth, and a couple wind-aided home runs flew out of the park, or we'd be 24-1 in our last 25. So I'm proud of our team for sure. It's been a great group to be around. Former Gamecock Kevin Madden had a big grand slam to beat Campbell the other day, and it's great having him. He's one of our portal guys, and I've only known him for 9 months, but he's been a true joy.
Yeah, 6 of your 12 losses by one or two runs, and that includes the three against Nebraska. And I know that series probably still eats at you sometimes, but it's over. Maybe you'll see him in the postseason. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you never know. And, you know, and losing Cole Mathis, a potential All-American closer, affected those early games because we didn't know who was going to close. But we got our bullpen organized a little bit, and that's helped. And obviously we'd love to have Cole back there, but he's just swinging the bat now. But over and all, I mean, as a coach, it's been a fun group to be around. Every time we go to practices, we have a ball. And sometimes in my 30 years of coaching, that's not always the case. but this group has been a lot of fun.
You're 8 minutes from having to get on the bus and head to head to Elon. So we'll let you run. It is, though, there are three things here. It is National Bring Flowers to Someone Day, and it is National Chocolate Chip Day. So give Miss Jen a bouquet of flowers and some chocolate chips from us here. Okay.
I can't personally take flowers to Jen because she's not with me on this trip, but I can partake in a chocolate chip cookie. I can assure you that.
All right.
I'm very good at that.
That'll be fine. Well, Miss Jen, if you're watching, you know, here's our bouquet of flowers for you. And it's Mad Dog Mullinax's 23rd birthday today, as a matter of fact. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah.
Happy
yeah.
birthday, man.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, man. Another trip around the sun.
It's great to know that age is affecting your bald head like it does mine.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, when did y'all start losing your hair?
Oh, jeez,
McCree. 18. Yeah, 17, 18. Yeah, I was a senior in high school when I was like, my forehead's getting a little bigger than it usually is.
You too, Coach?
Yeah, I think it's my sophomore year in college. I was like, this is not good. I mean, I remember looking in the mirror and was like, this is not good. It's hat time. You know, well, you can get 53 like I am right now, you don't care. But at that point in time, you do care. Miss Jen hadn't said yes at that point in time, you know.
Yeah, right. It could have been a long road for you. Yeah. Two of my roommates in college, me and Reese used to laugh all the time because – we had full heads of hair. Young bucks looked good, but we lived with Nick Godwin and Jay Brown, and Jay was getting gray. All gray. He was going all gray in college. And Gotti couldn't grow in here. Gotti grew more hair on his back. I used to have to trim his back hair, and he'd give me a little razor. I'm like, man, this is kind of gross, you know? Come on.
What is it with the human body that? Hair falls off your head and grows on your back. I can't get that. I don't right. get that.
Me and Reese would come home from eating dinner. And, you know, there's the silver bullet, Jay Brown, you know, sitting there just drinking water. We're hammered. And then, and Gotti's over here. Hey, want to help me trim my back cup? I'm like, nah, man, I don't think I want to do that tonight. You know. Why can't you grow hair in your head? The old men and the young bucks. That was.
I love it. All right, happy birthday!
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, go get them. I'll holler at you here in the next couple of days. We'll be following along this weekend for sure. Go get them, man. Go win your conference championship.
Look forward to trying hard. We're gonna play hard and have a good time. And I look forward to letting you know when we're gonna release the Steven conversation as well. Yeah. I think you guys will love it.
Yeah, just shoot me a text. Let me know.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank
Later,
you.
Dude. There you All go. Right, Chad man. Holbrook, Thanks. The bald head baseball coach at the College of Charleston. You and Chad are bald brothers. How about that?
That's amazing what you see when the hats come off. You know, I mean, there's no hiding it at that point.
Telling you, man.
Not that I ever really tried. It never really bothered me, not even as a teenager. I've always been an old soul anyway, so I'm just like, well, that figures.
Yeah.
That's fitting.
Reese and I'd look at each other. We're like, how do you have gray hair and you don't have hair? Aren't we all like 22 years old here? Like, what's going on?
I didn't realize how gray I was until I let it get a little longer than I usually do. And then I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, oh, man, you are getting old. Look at you. Hey, look, those gray hairs. Like, man.
I buzzed mine the other day. I got tired of going and sitting around for 30 minutes at the haircut place. I said, the hell with it.
Oh, yeah.
So I just took a foreguard to everything. And then I leaned down and looked in the mirror and I thought, ooh, probably shouldn't have done that. You know, right. Like, yeah. I think I'm going to let all this grow back out here. Like,
this is... Right. Hold on. Yeah, this is not the look we were going for. This is not the look we had last time.
Not good. Yeah, all right. It is
time marches on.
Time marches on. It is Phil's birthday. We will celebrate with him over the next couple of days or a couple of hours, whatever. A couple of days is fine. Mike will be joining us here pretty soon. And then John Wilkerson, the voice of the Tennessee Volunteers. He is really good, by the way. You'll enjoy that conversation. We'll get a peek at the other side. Carolina on the road at number one, Tennessee. Plenty of football to get to today as well. Looking forward to that in a really bizarre, hire in men's college basketball. We'll tell you about that. Hang tight. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We'll be right back.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's got to be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me, I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you
come. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another. With a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome back. It's 11:40 here on Inside the Gamecocks. The show powered by Electric Bikes of Charleston, electricbikescharleston.com. Yesterday was kind of a washout, but if you are in the market for something that gets you moving, man, they're fun, man, and they are popping up everywhere. Their business is booming. It's as good as ever. Thanks to all of you who have purchased there. We really appreciate it, number one, most importantly for Michelle and Dan and the Wilkins family. Family-run business, but it's growing rapidly. Of course, they also own Charleston Fitness Equipment. We've got a rower from there, the Hydro Rower, and it is fantastic to keep us moving and grooving as well. So folks that watch or listen to our program, if you need something that helps you exercise, there's nothing that they don't have or can't get. I mean, they got everything between those two stores. They're in Mount Pleasant, but people come literally from everywhere. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com, ElectricBikesCharleston.com. You can find them both in the Chief Sports app. Coach Holbrook, also in the Chief Sports app, the host of Chin Music, and the latest episode with Steven Garcia will be released by the end of the week is the plan. But again, I will tell you, it is it's really, really good, and I'm glad they got it in. It's there's going to be some things in there that they're just going to make you laugh. You're just going to laugh because it's him and because it's funny. And then there's also going to be some things that you're going to be kind of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed about. So looking forward to that getting out to the public here pretty soon. All right, so Mad Dog
again. Yes, sir.
this is kind of bizarre. This is not Gamecock related, but it is worthy of discussion. Yesterday, we found out that Green Bay University hired Doug Gottlieb as their next men's basketball coach. Uh-huh. Doug Gottlieb.
Wait, hold on. That's right.
Okay. So now Doug played college basketball. He's a point guard at Oklahoma State. He's been trying to get in and coach for some time. Apparently, by the way, he's still going to do his radio show. And I guess I'm a little unsure of how that's going to work, but yeah. It must have been somewhere around there with Oklahoma State. And then they hired, I guess this is Gamecocks related. They hired Mike Boynton, who played at South Carolina.
There you go.
And, of course, he didn't get the job. He interviewed before last year. So Green Bay made a hire around this time last year. And they hired – this is a real – if you probably never heard of it. Nobody around here follows Green Bay University basketball, and I totally understand that. They're in the Horizon League. But they hired a guy last year named Sundance Wicks. How about that name? Sounds like an Indian name, doesn't it? Sundance Wicks.
All right.
And he guided the Phoenix this past year to an 18-14 record, but he just left and he's headed out to a state that I've adopted as my own, Wyoming, to be the head basketball coach of the Wyoming Cowboys. This is actually a very proud basketball program out there. Really neat arena. And but before that, they had 16 total wins in the previous 3 years combined. Pretty crazy. So they have decided to go with the guy who didn't get the job last year. He, I don't know if he reapplied or they reached out to him or whatever. And he's going to be the next head coach there. I you can get away with that, I guess, at a place like Green Bay. But I mean, could you imagine if, you know, could you imagine if South Carolina would have hired like, you know, what's the guy's name on CBS? Seth, what's his name?
Seth, is it Greenberg?
No.
Know.
He was the coach of Virginia Tech.
Who am I thinking of?
What's the guy's name in the postseason coverage? Short guy. He always tells everybody to be kind after he trashes people on Twitter and stuff. Seth Davis.
Seth Davis, yeah, Seth Davis. God,
could you imagine if Coach Tanner stood up at the podium and said, I want to let everybody know our next head basketball coach is right here from CBS. That would be Seth Davis.
Yeah, like he'll forget his team right. Even exists when he submits his coach's poll numbers.
People giving hate mail would turn into bomb threats, Phil. I mean, it would be bizarre.
I wondered what, you know, the fans of the college think about, you know, Coach Holbrook being not just on with us, but doing his own podcast, although it at least doesn't come out.
No, they're okay with it.
You know, yeah.
I know we've already checked all those boxes, believe me. But but that's not anything like being a full-time college basketball coach and hosting a daily radio show, national radio show.
Yeah, the daily radio show thing is kind of strange. I mean, sure, you're going to get an immediate bump to the program's, you know, relevance just because now you've got, you know, a big national name. But how far is that going to go? Is it going to make recruiting any better? I doubt it. And the minute they start to slide record-wise, it's going to be all anyone ever talks about is this guy's got his radio. He's more concerned with his radio show. I mean, you can hear it now from here. It's just, this is an interesting move by Green Bay, but I mean, hey, thinking outside the box, you know, could prove to be pretty good for you.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the, like what the point of that is, but, best of luck to Green Bay, I guess. I don't know. I don't really care. I just found it kind of funny that was the case. So
yeah, I mean, that sword cuts both ways too. So it was like, let's say he does start losing on the, you know, basketball court with this team, and then, you know, people aren't going to believe what he has to say about basketball. It's like, well, what do you know? You're a failed coach. You obviously don't know
Green Bay
much. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You couldn't even make it. You couldn't even hack it at Green Bay where, you know, they've had what, 10? I think it said he's the 10th basketball coach at Green Bay. How long has this program been around?
I don't know. I didn't do enough research. Again, I don't really care. I just found that it is interesting, worth passing along. So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Doug Gottlieb. Like, I just not.
I don't listen to him. So it's like, yeah.
Not either.
That must not be either.
In some other national news, Netflix will air 2 games on Christmas Day this season and at least 1 game on the holiday each of the next 2 years in the NFL. That's right.
Yeah.
The NFL will head to Netflix on Christmas Day. Okay. So serious question. Do you watch the NBA on Christmas Day?
No. Me no, either. Just don't do it.
That was,
I know, traditionally that used to be its day, right? It used to be
they are like 4 games all day on ABC, right? Yeah, on ABC or ABC and ESPN, Phil, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But the last I had heard, the ratings, the NBA ratings have just plummeted over the year. They're really not good. It's lost a lot. And I don't think they've been very good on Christmas Day. Now, I'm a Christmas movie guy on Christmas Day, but I will say this. I will watch the NFL on Christmas Day.
Same. Yeah. Nothing like, you know, if there's football on TV, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You know, it's already a part of our holiday tradition for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So why not just, you know, throw a game in there on Christmas too? What is it? Yeah. Two games, I think.
Two games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two games this year. I don't, what day does Christmas fall on this year?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. I'll have us an answer here in just a second.
I thought I,
Wednesday? That might have been last year.
I don't know.
Okay, December. It is Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday. I am right.
It's Wednesday. Okay, so it's Wednesday. Well, that'll be interesting. So,
yeah,
tonight the full schedule release will come out for the 2024 season. You can watch it at 8 o'clock on the NFL Network, and I think you can watch it on NFL.com. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see who plays in those games, number one. But I'll tell you what else I'm actually looking for. And I'm not a huge NFL guy. Like, if it's on, that's fine. Love watching the NFL playoffs. But like during the regular season, I spend all day on Saturday watching football or traveling for football. And I just don't sit around and watch the NFL all day on Sunday. I'm hanging out with my kids. But I will be interested to see when the New Orleans Saints come to Charlotte to take on the Panthers. That is the one game regionally appealing to me, because if there's any chance at all that Spencer Rattler could crack in as the starting quarterback, I'm hoping that is later in the season. I hope that's not early. Hope it's later, maybe in December, and give this thing time to play itself out. And maybe Rattler ends up becoming the starting quarterback. I don't know. People say, well, that's not going to happen. Well, how the hell do you know? I mean, this crap happens every year. I mean, Brock Purdy became the starting quarterback at San Fran, didn't he? So, I mean, it could happen, but I'm really interested to see if that, when that game is played, because the Panthers, we know the story with them signing Clowney in the offseason. They've signed DJ Wonnum. They just drafted Xavier Leggett. And now you got Rattler potentially, maybe at some point in time, if it all worked out for him, not for Derek Carr, but if it all worked out for him, where he would take over the starting position and playing in Charlotte. So I'll keep an eye on this tonight. I'm anxious to see where that – they play each other twice, even Atlanta. You know, if they play over in Atlanta, much easier for Gamecock fans to go see and play, and that's the real tie-in because there's so many South Carolina alums that are on the Panthers roster. So that'll be what I'm looking for, in addition to, you know, who opens the season, I guess. That's fine, but looking forward to that one. So we'll see.
Yeah, that'll be good. I don't know. I think Rattler will be starting by year's end. I don't think it'll take an entire season. I think Derek Carr is, you know, has a tendency to be made of glass when it comes to full seasons. I don't know when the last time he actually played all 17 or even 16 games, since he goes back that far. So I'm expecting to see old Spencer Rattler a little sooner rather than later.
Are you making the prediction that he's the starting quarterback at some point in time this year for the Saints?
Oh,
is that your bold birthday prediction?
Bold birthday prediction is Spencer Rattler will start more than one game this year for the New Orleans Saints.
All right. I'll tell you what, I'll go along with that. I'm such a believer in him. I really am. Because we've seen it from the inside out here. And so I'm going to buy that. Like, if we were doing a buy or sell segment, I'm buying.
Yeah.
We need to bring that back. I used to do a buy or sell segment on Carolina Game Day before Gamecock football games. We need to bring that back around here. That was a fun segment. So I'll buy that. Spencer Rattler starts. You're saying over, what'd you say? One and a half?
Yeah. Over. I set the over under at 1.5 and took the over. He will start more than one game.
Okay. Jot this down for Phil's bold prediction.
I mean, it's not that bold. If you pay, if you play fantasy football or, you know, play any of it, then you know that Derek Carr is not to be trusted physically for an entire season. So, yeah, I don't know. I know they got Jake Haener last year. I think Rattler's upside is better, and I think you go with that. I think you throw that out there. Yeah. Over Haener. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, I think that as the summer goes along, we get into fall camp, there's going to be a lot of stuff that is really positive for Spencer Rattler. He won't be the starting quarterback day one. That's just not I'm a firm believer that will not be the case. Hope it is, but it won't be, I don't think. But yeah, maybe later in the year.
No, I don't think he starts day one. That'd be I mean, talk about turning a whole bunch of people into immediate Saints fans. That would do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Saints fan right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of that draft. Yeah, there's no question. But I will make a bold prediction. Xavier Leggett starts day one.
Oh, yeah. The numbers bear that out as well. Who else have they got? Adam, how old is Adam? Adam Thielen might be as old as I am.
The
Johnson, I think, has also been added to the team, which he's been, you know, relatively inconsistent. Good route runner, but not necessarily, you know, been able to be a wide receiver one. I mean, yeah, you'd be foolish not to have Leggett on the field on every play that you can have him on the field.
I think the over, under, or the buy or sell, right? Then we decide on that, buy or sell.
Yeah.
I think the buy or sell for the Panthers, Leggett, Wonnum, Clowney, JC. I don't know. I'm trying to do the math here. Jamie Robinson is there. So do they all start? Essentially, it's 3.5. And the question would be, does DJ Wonnum start? I mean, I think they brought him in to start.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd say.
JC Horn is starting. All of them have had injury issues.
Yeah. Yeah, I expect to see every one of them in the very first game.
They're all starting. Over.
Yep.
There you go. With problem solved. All right, it's the end of our number one. Gamecock Traditions will get you dressed and outdoor and looking good. We never have enough Gamecock gear. All of you do the same thing that I do, and I know it, and you know it. Y'all go to the shirt drawer, you go to the closet, and you go, I've worn that 1,000 times. It might be your favorite, you love it, but it's always nice to have something different, right? Now, when you buy something different with the Carolina logo on it, a portion goes to Name, Image, and Likeness at the University of South Carolina. Gamecock Traditions in Lexington, Gamecock Traditions Village at Sand Hill, GamecockTraditions.com. All the hats, all the gear, the tailgate gear, it's all there. Everything is there. They are like fully stocked to the gills. They just restock every time they sell out of whatever it is they sell out of. We are so glad to partner with them, and I can't thank them enough for keeping my wardrobe fresh. GamecockTraditions.com. More celebrations with the birthday boy and Mike Morgan up next.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet. The best selection of new Chevys. The lowest price. Guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power.
Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever, and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks.
Edward Jones is a proud sponsor of Inside the Gamecocks, the show on the Chiefs Sports Network. Call me, financial advisor Eric Ponder, at 864-862-2161 for all your investment needs. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock, owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in, because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, you know, the heart issue that, but, you know, ultimately why the Big Ten stopped and originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring, and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.